have your Bibles, you can go ahead and be finding Galatians first, Galatians chapter 5, and then put a finger in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and we'll just talk about the fruits of the Spirit tonight. A new pastor, this is a little funny, I found a new pastor was talking to one of the oldest members of his congregation. And she said, "I'm 95 years old, sir, and I haven't got an enemy in the world." And the pastor said, "Well, that's a beautiful thought." And she said, "Yes, sir, and I'm thankful to say that I've outlived all of them." A morning time prayer, I think you'd be proud of me. So far today, I've done all right. I hadn't gossiped. I hadn't lost my temper. Hadn't been greedy. Hadn't been grumpy. Hadn't been selfish. I'm very thankful for that. She was praying. She said, "But Lord, in a few minutes, I got to get out of bed." So with that in mind, I know I'm going to need a lot of help from you. I feel kind of like that person. I need a lot of help from time to time from the Lord. And the fruits of the Spirit is something we get when we get saved. So we're going to talk about it tonight just for a few moments. We're going to pick up where we left off a couple of Sunday nights ago. And we're going to inspect some fruit. Not fruit on a tree, but our fruit, the fruit that we have as Christians. And of course, I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit that the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. So we'll just talk about it a little bit tonight. Keep in mind now, before we go any further, or before I begin reading, that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And everybody gets them when they get saved. When you got born again, you got all 9 fruits. Every person gets them. Every Christian has all 9. Remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? It's all, not some. We get all 9 of the fruits of the Spirit. And if you remember, don't get the idea that you can somehow produce that fruit on your own. I mean, you can't simply decide that you're going to be a more joyful person and you're going to be more kind to people. The fruit that the Bible is speaking about is not produced by this old flesh. We can't produce it on our own. We can't work them all out on our own. So, how do we do it? Well, the answer is found, if you remember what I read a couple of weeks ago in John 15, verse 4, where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." So we got to be abiding with the Lord. We've got to have that relationship with God if we want to have all 9 of the fruit. He said, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And he goes on to say, "For without me you can do nothing." And then he says, "By this my Father is glorified." Did you know when we bear fruit? I got my reading glasses on tonight because I can't see out of my other ones. So when I look up, I can't see you. When we bear fruit, we are glorifying God. When we bear the fruit of the Spirit, God gets all the glory. And the fruit that we bear is due to you and I having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we abide in Christ. Relationship, Bible study, prayer, walking with God, talking with God. That's what relationship is all about. And that's how you abide in him. And the Bible teaches when we do that, we bear much fruit. And if you're not abiding in him, you're not going to bear no fruit. No joy, no Jesus. I know you've seen this, but There's a bumper sticker that says, "No Jesus, no joy." But then it says right under it, "No Jesus, K-N-O-W, no joy." Isn't that good? No Jesus, N-O, no joy. But if you know him, K-N-O-W, you'll know joy. The Bible says, "He who abides in me and I abide in him bears much fruit." That's Bible. That's what the Bible says. And again, John says, "By this your master, your father is glorified." So we're going to just talk a little bit tonight about bearing fruit. We bear fruit when we are close to God, when we have that relationship with God. So having said that, we're reading Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. And Paul lists in verses 19, let me just begin reading. I'm going to read verses 19 through 21, and then we'll read. He talks about the works of the flesh. "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revilers, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Those are the works of the flesh. But then it gets in verse 22. It's for the born again person. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Last week's fruit was love. We talked about love. And remember, we looked there in Corinthians and talked about true love. Tonight, we're going to talk about joy. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. J-O-Y. Not only does the Holy Spirit produce love, but the Bible teaches that when we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, it produces joy. And no wonder the Holy Spirit produces joy in our life, because the Bible says that God is the God of all joy. The God of all joy. So if we've got God in our lives, how can we not have joy? Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Joy is a part of God's character. He's the God of all joy. And Jesus came that we might have joy. So why there are so many Christians that are joyless, I don't know. But there are. And why is it that you have to look pretty hard, even in the church house, to see joyful Christians? But I just want to say this. Christians ought to be some of the joyfulest people in the world. Some of the most joyful people in the world. Why is it that many Christians are not joyful? We ought to be joyful. And I just want to ask, are you known as a joyful person? Are you a joyful saint? Are you a joyful member of Northside Baptist Church? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, "And these things we write unto you, that your joy might be full." I want to be full, don't you? I want to be filled up. I want my cup to run over. And I remember as a little boy, and you probably sang this song. I learned it in Vacation Bible School. Got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I wonder tonight, do you have that joy, 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 joy way down deep in your heart? If you don't, you need to listen to the second part, because this is how you can have it. Remember the second part? The devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch. Remember that? Sit on attack. Ouch. Sit on attack. Y'all remember that? The devil doesn't like it, you can sit on attack. And sit on attack to stay. Listen, sometimes, I know this is childish, but sometimes as adults and as Christians, we just need to tell the devil to sit on attack, to get off our backs. We had a good men's meeting Wednesday night. Several people got up and told their testimony and blessed my heart to hear. But listen, God's been good to us. And God's been good to me, but every once in a while, the devil will bring up my past, and you know my past, and sometimes the devil will bring it up, and he'll get on my back, and he'll say, you're not good for nothing. I don't even know why you're a preacher. You're just a sorry, low-down scoundrel, and I get down sometimes, and I'll never forget a preacher telling me, son, when the devil gets on your back, and he tells you to remember your past, you tell the devil to remember his future. And he'll get off, because the devil's a defeated foe. Sometimes, I'll just say it again, we need to say, if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. Let's look at Romans chapter 14 real quick. In the 14th chapter of Romans, Paul's talking about the liberty we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he explains to us a few things about the joy for the journey. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. And look, what else? And joy. And notice where it comes from, the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have joy, if joy is going to characterize our lives, if we're going to be joyful Christians and we're going to be a joyful church, we got to understand where it comes from. And the Bible just told us right there in Romans 14, 17, where joy comes from. Look at verse 14, joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, but we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit today. We preach on God and we preach on Jesus, but we never preach on the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to do a series on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's with us today. God's in heaven and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And when he left, he sent the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to live in our lives. And that's where the joy comes from. And I'm going to say something not too politically correct, but that's okay. There's no joy outside of Jesus. There is none. There's no joy outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only joy in Jesus. And that joy, the joy that I'm talking about tonight, the fruit of the Spirit, is consistent. It's consistent. It's not like happiness. Joy is not the same as being happy. And you know why? Because they have different sources. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, and happiness comes from our surroundings. If my surroundings are good, then I'm happy. But when my surroundings turn south, so does my joy. I mean, my happiness. In fact, that word happy comes from a word that means happenstance. When our happenstance is pleasing and good, we're okay, we're happy. But when our happenstance is not pleasing, we get unhappy. Listen, I'll just be honest, you can't be happy all the time. Not in this world in which we live. You know why? Because we have struggles today. We have sorrows in our life. We have sicknesses, we have sufferings, and life's realities prevent us from experiencing continual happiness. There's no way that we can be continual happy. Somebody says, wait a minute, the Bible says in Philippians 4:4 that we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. Well, that's what the Bible says. And then somebody will say, well, what about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, where it says rejoice always? What about that song you just sang? You got joy, 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 joy down in your heart. That's just it. Joy is yours. It was given to you when you got saved. And there's a difference. Joy is yours to have every day, even in every circumstance. Happiness, on the other hand, comes and goes because it depends on your surroundings. Let me just put it this way. Happiness comes from the outside. Joy comes from within. Happiness is tied to your circumstances, but joy is tied to Christ, the Holy Spirit, living within you. So where does joy come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit, and it moves in, and it produces love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. It produces all those, but we have to abide in Christ in order to for them to manifest itself. So we know that the Holy Spirit brings joy. And let me just tell you how it remains. That's my second point. How it remains. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore, or rejoice always. It's a little verse. But it's got a big, big meaning. And it's talking about a joy that keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. It's a joy that don't ever run out. It's a joy that every born again Christian has. It sticks. It sticks. Even when times are tough, you can still have that joy. Even when there's bad, you can still have that joy. I've seen it in people's lives when they lose someone. They might not be too happy, but there's still joy in their heart. And I'm talking about something that you as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, takes with you 24/7 hours a day. And nothing in the world can take it away from you. Thieves can't take it away. Trouble can't take it away. Your boss can't take it away. Bad health can't take it away. Your bank can't withdraw it. It's yours. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God, and it's with you, and it remains. It's yours. It's the fruit of the Spirit that Paul and Silas had when they chained them up in jail. And the Bible says at midnight they begin to sing and pray and sang hymns in the jail cells open wide. They were in prison. You say, preacher, how in the world could they be happy? They probably wasn't happy, but they had joy. They had joy because they knew the Lord. They knew God, and they had a relationship with Him. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so important for the Christian. That's why it's so important that you abide in Him and He abide in you so you can have this joy. I need it. I need that joy. This fruit is important. There's nothing worse than a joyless Christian. And I'm telling you, I've seen them. They've lost their joy. Why? Because they're somewhere down the road, they quit abiding in Christ. They quit having that relationship. Maybe they quit having that daily time of prayer. Maybe they quit having that daily time of Bible study. And all of a sudden, their joy diminished. And the fruit is important, especially for Christians. I'm convinced that the reason a lot of so-called Christians never witness, I'm convinced that the reason so many Christians don't want to share their testimony, never try to win a soul to Christ, is because their life doesn't back up what they believe. They've lost their joy. And I mean, You've got to first live a life worth sharing before you can share a life worth living. Did that make sense? You got to first live a life that's worth sharing before you can share a life worth living. And if you are a joyless Christian and you have no love in your heart for other people, frankly, you're bad advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ. somewhere along the line, you need to go back to where you had that joy and maybe go back to your first love and do business with God so you can have that joy that the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, so you can be filled with that joy, so you can be a joyous person and let others see Christ in you. I'm telling you, a cold, dry, joyless faith has no appeal. It doesn't. If I say it again, if anybody should be joyful, it ought to be the blood-bought children of God. We've been saved by His grace. We have the fruits of the Spirit that are living inside of us. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have a person, the God of the universe, that tells us He'll never leave us and never forsake us. And when we leave this world, when we take our last breath here on this earth, we take our next breath in heaven. If that don't make you happy, your wood is soaked. Some folks need to tell the devil to sit on attack, that you're God's own. You've been bought with a price. You've been born again. You have the joy of the Spirit. Don't you want that joy? Boy, I do. I want that joy. What the church needs today is some enthusiasm for Jesus. Amen. I read this week that word enthusiasm comes from a Greek word that means in God. In God. That's what enthusiasm means, in God. When you get into God and God gets into you, God's going to come out of you. There's an old country singer that I still like. I used to love him, old Hank Williams Jr. He sings a song that I was born to boogie. Y'all, I know y'all have heard that song. Don't look up here so spiritual. They asked him one time if he would make a movie. And he told them he'd make a movie. But old Hank Williams Jr., as you know, was raised ever since he was 7 years old. He was standing in an audience singing country music. And he told that guy that wanted him to make a movie, "I'll make you a movie, but I'll tell you right now, I was born to boogie." That's all he knew. That's all he knew from the time he was born to now. On stage, that's all he's ever done. And you take somebody that's an alcoholic, you feed them vodka, they're going to act like they've been drinking vodka because it's in them. It's in them, and if it's in them, it's got to come out. And it's the same way with Christians. If we have been born again and we've got the Holy Spirit of God living in our lives, what's in us is going to come out. It's going to come out. I'm telling you, that word enthusiasm got me. It means God in us. When you get into God and let God get into you, God's going to come out of you. And you take a man full of the Holy Spirit of God and put a smile on his face and let him go and let him begin to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, great and mighty things will happen. When you get into Jesus and Jesus gets into you, Jesus is going to cause you to act like the Christian that we were created to be. You remember what happened to David? He got out of fellowship with God and he lost his joy. You remember that? And when he lost his joy, he stopped doing what he was doing. He stopped being a soul winner. He stopped walking with God. And then you hear him praying in the book of Psalms. And he prayed out and he cried out to God. He said, "God, please restore the joy of my salvation." No wonder the Bible tells us to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Joyful. You got to have some gladness deep down in your heart. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." It's the joy that gets you through the tough times. It's the joy that lifts your burdens. It's the joy that gives you strength. It's the joy that attracts the lost. It does. Is there joy in your heart tonight? Are you known as a joyful person? Do others see Jesus in your life? Do others see joy in your life? You say, well, I have so little joy. What I need is joy, preacher. If it's the joy you need, then all you got to do is abide in Him. You abide in Him. You get back to that daily time of prayer. You get back to that daily time of Bible study. You start abiding in Him. And the Bible says He'll abide in you. Joy comes from abiding. John 15:4 said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. This is Bible. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But then he says this, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without him. That's a song, isn't it? Without him, you can do nothing. This is how somebody told me a long time ago, how to have joy. Just take the word J-O-Y. Take that J and put Jesus first. Give him the preeminence. We've been talking about that on Sunday morning. Put him first. Make him Lord of your life. Jesus first. Take the O out of joy and put others second. Jesus first, others second. And then take that Y and think about yourself. And you'll have joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. I believe that equals joy. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know what we're called if we bear much fruit? The Bible says we're called His disciple. You know what a disciple is? A follower of Christ. I want to be a disciple. A follower of Christ. And I know you do as well. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We'll be dismissed.